الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that corruption has spread across the earth from what our own hands have wrought. ظهر الفساد في البحر والسلم والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. So literally this just occurred, as we know, with the Fukushima. First of all, the tsunami that occurred, and then the nuclear reactor exploding and continuing. And as each day progresses in this era that we live in, what we find is extreme, or there's hardly a day of normalcy. So, like the weather, today is April here in Chicago, and it's 40 degrees, increased in 40 degrees since the day before yesterday. So, I was telling the kids that yesterday when we went out in the evening, it actually, I mean, I didn't smell so many toxins in the air, and it smelled natural. So I said, Miss Ajit, I have to raise the weather, even whether it's natural or unnatural. So sometimes, I don't know if you noticed, some of the snowstorms that occurred definitely didn't seem natural. Even the snowflakes didn't seem natural. And for us, when we lived in Oak Brook, we could tell immediately, because of having the well water, we were unable to drink the water after the snowfall, after the snowstorm. I mean, it tasted just horrific after a snowstorm for probably a few days after each storm. And then it was here again. So, these kinds of things. So, again, this is a reminder that the balance, our emotional states, our internal states with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with our presence, and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the only constancy that we have. We have no control over any other factor except for our own relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is what it means when all these extremes are occurring. One day we have one thing. And also, this is what we get reminded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Quran al-Kareem. We're told over and over again that after usr there is yusr, so there is ease that comes after each trial. So we have this continually in our routine, where we really can't but take advantage of those days of ease to immediately do what we're supposed to do, because the next day we don't know what we'll be tested with, whether it's the weather, some other situation. So this is why we need to continually practice having that balance, and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be in order beforehand. This is what will not take us off guard, and this is why we have reminders about the era that we live in, just so we can be prepared and not be of those who have what I say is to remove this from our vocabulary, the word shock. But so we don't have, the prima facie response is very crucial, which means the initial response we have to anything. And in order to get that initial response to anything, to have it be appropriate according to the sunnah, we need to have been following the sunnah all the other days, or attempting to, so that when something absurd happens, or out of the ordinary happens, then we're ready, inshallah, what is the best response? As the Sayyidina Shaykh Muhammad al-Yaqubi, Hafidhullah, says, more importantly is the reaction. Everyone should know how to act. We know how to act. But the reaction needs to be practiced, because we only have one chance for reaction. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the woman who was crying profusely, had a shocking response to the death of her husband. But the Prophet ﷺ reminded her about patience being the first shock. So this is something we have to keep in mind, and this is why we remind ourselves over and over again, so that we have this ready stance of the prima facie response. And so how do we do that? One of the main routes of success in this endeavor is something that inshallah gives me a reminder in mashallah, the significance of sum or silence. Because how do we get this initial response that is appropriate if we have been observing? Now, and our conversations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'll use an example that just occurred in our house. So you all know that we moved in with my parents in an extended family situation. My brother-in-law and sister lived there. So my sister told me this morning that my brother-in-law, Adam, he said that, how come, your sister and daddy, his niece, my daughter, they're so quiet. I mean, the diminutive Muslim woman thing, I don't believe in that. And then, of course, that got me interested in the response, too. My sister, my brother-in-law wasn't around. But because you learn a lot. You learn immensely from people's questions. So I said, wow, that's really interesting. He thinks basically he was surmising that we're non-talkers. Perhaps he was worried. He said, shouldn't she as a teenager be talking more? And doesn't she ever talk? And I said to my sister, SubhanAllah, I would love for any of the children, I would want some silence, it would be her. the boys, mashallah, mashallah, she's my only daughter, so alhamdulillah, we have obviously a unique relationship, but she does take advantage of it. I mean, she knows that I'll welcome her company anytime over the boys, but she takes advantage of it, and sometimes I have to remind her, the boys may want to talk to me privately sometimes. So anyway, in addition to that, and I said, and as for me, I think I have a lot of witnesses that I am a talker. I wasn't, actually, most of my life. And if you see me in my, in fact, as a child, they were very, very worried that I couldn't talk at all. Because they called me somber, the somber one.